Avadyne takes a giant step forward in the GNS 430 replacement market. Pilot error downed Air France's Flight 447. And Hawker files a bankruptcy plan. This is Aero News for Friday, July 6, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Despite a bad economy, an even tougher regulatory environment, and the industry doldrums, Avadyne seems bound and determined to innovate themselves into better days. ANN has confirmed that Avadyne is introducing the IFD 440 FMS GPS NavCom system with a hybrid touch user interface. The plug-and-play replacement for legacy GNS 430 series navigators, the IFD 440 can reduce installation cost and downtime for customers looking to add touchscreen or who are upgrading their aircraft to meet the higher precision requirements of SBAS LPV and ADS-B. The IFD 440 in a dual system installation with another IFD 440 or together with the larger IFD 540 leverages Avadyne's ByteFlight data bus architecture for added interoperability and cross-sync functionality. The IFD 440 and IFD 540 also include terrain awareness and alerting as standard. The IFD 540 has an option for integrated Class B TAWS functionality. The IFD 440 has a retail price of $14,995, including tray and installation kit, and the IFD 540 has a retail price of $16,995 with the same tray and kit. The integrated TAWS-B option for the 540 is an additional $7,995. BEA, the French agency charged with investigating aviation accidents, has released its final report in the accident of Air France Flight 447, which went down in the Atlantic Ocean June 1, 2009, resulting in the fatal injury of all 228 people on board. In the report, BEA said the blockage of the pitot probes by ice crystals in crews was a phenomenon that was known but misunderstood by the aviation community at the time of the accident. BEA said the cause of the accident was the temporary inconsistency between the measured speeds, likely as a result of the obstruction of the pitot probes that caused the autopilot to disconnect, and inappropriate control inputs that destabilized the flight path. They also cited the lack of any link by the crew between the loss of displayed airspeed information and the appropriate procedure, the late identification of the deviation from the flight path by the pilot not flying, and insufficient correction applied by the pilot flying. The report said the crew did not identify the approach to stall and did not immediately respond to the situation, resulting in a lack of inputs that would have made it possible to recover the aircraft. Still struggling, Hawker Beechcraft late last week filed paperwork in bankruptcy court that establishes a framework for resolving the company's debts with its creditors and how it plans to transfer ownership of the company to those creditors. The plan has the support of many of the parties involved, including HBC's largest creditors, as well as most of the financial institutions holding paper on the company, that according to a report in the Wichita Eagle. In a letter sent to employees Monday, HBC's CEO Steve Miller and Chairman Bill Boyster said the goal was to, quote, emerge from Chapter 11 in the strongest possible operational and financial position while preserving as many jobs as possible, end quote. They also need to reduce the total funded debt, which currently stands at over $2.5 billion. The paper reports that 60-day layoff notices went out to another 125 HBC employees in Wichita last Friday, bringing the total number of idled HBC workers in the city to 906 and reducing the company's Wichita workforce to 4,100 employees. If you're a regular viewer of Flying Wild Alaska or ICE pilots, you know that low visibility is a real issue for pilots flying in the frozen tundra up north. Well, this week, the Canadian government took steps to minimize that issue by adopting new regulations that requires private turbine-powered and commercial airplanes with six or more passenger seats to be equipped with an alert system known as the Terrain Awareness and Warning System, or TAWS. The new regulations will replace the current regulatory requirement for a Ground Proximity Warning System, GPWS, under Section 605.37 of the Canadian Aviation Regulations. In comparison to GPWS, TAWS gives the flight crew much earlier acoustic and visual warnings of a collision, and does so under conditions where GPWS cannot. The regulations comply with the International Civil Aviation Organization standards and bring Canadian regulations closer to those of other aviation authorities, including the United States and European Union. Canada's Transportation Safety Board also recommends the wider use of TAWS to help pilots assess their proximity to terrain. Pilots have 2 years now to bring their aircraft into compliance with the new regulations. The FAA has agreed to a request from California Congressman Howard Berman, Democrat from California, and others to hold a town hall-style meeting in Los Angeles on the subject of noise generated by helicopter traffic. According to a report in the Los Angeles Daily News, Acting FAA Administrator Michael Huerta gave the go-ahead for the meeting on Tuesday. It will be held during the first week of August, though a specific date and location have not yet been released. The purpose of the hearing is to hear from residents and community groups about how noise from helicopter operations affects them. They will be seeking information about areas where the noise is loudest and which companies make the most noise. The agency will hear from helicopter operators in separate meetings at a later date. A number of California legislators ask that the FAA formally solicit local stakeholder views on solutions to the helicopter noise problem in Los Angeles County. This collaborative community effort is an important step in broader efforts to institute rules regarding the flight paths and altitudes of helicopters flying over residential neighborhoods. Something tells me you can bet the residents of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, will be watching these proceedings closely as they've just begun to battle a new helicopter tour ride operator in their neighborhoods. When Aero News continues, Southwest Airlines wants more time to inspect those AirTrans 717s. The Army says it can operate UAVs safely in the national airspace. And Forrest Gump was right.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Friday, July the 6th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Following the discovery of cracks on two Boeing 717s, the plane maker and Southwest Airlines have asked the FAA for additional time to inspect the 717s, once owned by AirTran, which Southwest recently acquired in a merger. Boeing is not saying what airline is flying the airplanes on which the cracks were discovered, but only AirTran and Hawaiian Airlines operate that model. The FAA had proposed the completion of inspections on all of the aircraft in use within 90 days after airframe cracks were found, but Southwest says it needs additional time for Boeing to supply it with replacement kits for needed repairs. Southwest had recently announced a plan to lease the AirTran 717s to Delta Airlines. It's not clear what effect, if any, the inspections and subsequent repairs will have on that agreement. By March 2014, the MQ-1C Gray Eagle, an Army Unmanned Aerial System, or UAS, will be able to train in the same airspace as the Boeing 747 with the help of the Army-developed Ground-Based Sense and Avoid System, also known as GBSAA. The Army recently concluded a 2-week demonstration of the GBSAA system at Dugway Proving Ground in Utah. During the demonstration, the Army put the system through multiple training vignettes that validated both the design and functionality of the system. The GBSAA is a radar and warning system designed to allow soldiers to fly unmanned aerial systems like the Gray Eagle inside the national airspace while still meeting Federal Aviation Administration regulations. The system monitors location and altitude of the UAS and other aircraft, detects possible collisions, and makes recommendations to UAS operators on how to avoid those collisions. The Army plans to establish 5 training locations for Gray Eagle operations. The FAA is required by law to safely integrate UAS into the national airspace by September 2015. While we're all anxious to trot off to Wisconsin and the EAA's air venture later this month, there is still business at hand before that in Farnborough. the world's third largest civil aircraft manufacturer, Bombardier Aerospace, is returning to the Farnborough International Air Show with a display of its portfolio of business and commercial aircraft. During this event, Bombardier will showcase its products, technical expertise, customer support, and aircraft maintenance services. It is also the first time the company will introduce its new branding campaign to an international audience at an air show. Featured on static display will be five airplanes from Bombardier's portfolio of business and commercial aircraft, including the ultra-long-range Global 6000 jet featuring the new Vision flight deck. Guests will also experience the next generation of commercial air travel when they enter Bombardier's unique C-Series aircraft dome. The C-Series aircraft dome features geodesic fabric architecture and, for the first time in Europe, will house the C-Series aircraft's flight deck demonstrator. However, analysts think that there will not be a rush of orders for the C-Series airplanes at Farnborough. Reuters reports that potential buyers are likely to hold off until one of the airplanes actually flies before filling up the order book. Bombardier plans to test fly the C-Series airplane by the end of the year, which will be a good indication as to whether they can meet their projected production schedule. The Farnborough International Air Show runs Monday, July 9th to Friday, July 13th for trade visitors, and Saturday the 14th to Sunday the 15th for public visitors. Finally, two California men have found themselves in the clutches of the National Park Service and the Coast Guard in connection with a film shoot they directed using a 6-foot-long homemade helicopter. The homemade drone helicopter had a high-definition camera attached to it to give the filmmaker a bird's-eye view of the world, or in this case, Sausalito, California. Bay Area filmmaker Chris Gonzalez says he was just making a documentary about the city of Sausalito when he, photographer Bruce Paquette, and his miniature chopper and film were seized by the feds. The men were filming from a boat off Alcatraz. Footage from the seized helo showed that the helicopter operator buzzed people on the dock and disturbed nesting birds. Alexandra Picavet, Golden Gate National Recreation Area spokeswoman, said, quote, "Wildlife is protected through Golden Gate National Recreational Area, but specifically on Alcatraz Cliffs," end quote. The use of hobby helicopters is growing and not without some concern, according to a report on Bay Area TV station KTVU's website. Noah Moore, a sales clerk at Franciscan Hobbies, told KTVU, quote, "I don't know if people really know how dangerous these are. The last couple of years, we've seen a lot of improvement in this sector and a lot of interest in putting cameras on helicopters," end quote. FAA regulations say model aircraft are to be used for safe fun only. Otherwise, remote-controlled aircraft are only allowed under strict research and development guidelines. However, filmmaker Gonzalez said, quote, "They need to regulate it, put strict regulations on it, because you can't hide from the technology. People are going to do it regardless." In other words, Forrest Gump was right. Stupid is as stupid does. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.